Good morning. This white screen is correct. I'm actually going to attempt a different way of preaching today. Something I came across this week and then worked through it, and my outline's about half of my normal outline, but that does not mean you're getting out early. It was still just as long, but I don't know. God just laid this on my heart, so let's give it a go. This is going to be a note-taking sermon. I'm not going to have any points up on this board, and he's just going to have one main point up on the screen along with three sub-points at the end. But there's going to be some stuff you're going to want to write down. If you're like me, you'll forget it by the time you leave here, so you might want to write it down as a way of helping you to remember and apply it to your life. So let's jump into it. We are going to finish our series on work today, and this is the word that God gave me for this year for our church, that God is calling us to work. And the verses we've been looking at during this series is Philippians 2, 12 through 13. And in those verses, Paul says this: "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." So during this series thus far, we have covered the first half, I would say, first part of these two verses. You are to work out your salvation, which we talked about means to activate it, to strengthen it. Last week, we covered that second part where it says it is God who works in you. Today, we're going to talk about what that work in you does. And Paul tells us right there, it is to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Let me ask you today, by show of hands, how many of you know someone today or have known someone who was struggling to find their purpose in life? I can think of many people, and I can even think at times in my life, that was me, and you're going to hear a little bit about that later. Maybe it's that they are young. You know, in those high school, college years, you're trying to figure out what you're supposed to do with your life. Often you're going into college and you'll start with choosing to do something and then you end up doing something else, but you're trying to find what is your purpose in life. Or maybe the person you thought of is a grown adult that's just lazy and won't get out and do anything. Some of you just thought of someone. Don't look at anybody else in the room. Maybe it's someone who they're doing stuff in life, but they know deep down they are meant for more than what they are doing. See, the truth is we probably have all felt that way at some point during our lives. Maybe it was high school in those early years, wondering what we were supposed to do. Maybe it was later in life, wondering if what we have experienced thus far is all that we were supposed to do with life. Or maybe it's realizing that we're in a life transition. Maybe retirement's coming. Maybe retirement's already here. And you're wondering, what does these last years of my life look like? What is my purpose now? You know, when we don't know our purpose in life, it can really cause struggles within us. It can leave us depressed, hopeless, anxious, lost. I mean, because you have no direction. So you end up feeling like something's wrong and something is wrong. Because you are created for a purpose. And so if you're not finding that purpose, something's not right. And eventually that depression will lead into low self-esteem. We don't feel very highly about ourselves. And then what I have seen really at Food Lion is where I saw it the most, is that over time when you don't know your purpose or you don't feel like what you're living is your purpose, your motivation to do what you're doing decreases. So at Food Lion, the way I saw this was people who made Food Lion their career, and they get 30 years in, and they're like, is this all I'm supposed to do with my life? Clock in for a 10 to 7, which was the unfortunate shift that some people got stuck with, and then check out. and be done with my day and just do it again the next day? Is this all my life is about? They were wondering if that was their purpose in life. See, when we don't experience our purpose, it creates a tension because we know something isn't right. But here's the good news for us. God has a purpose for every person. That should have got an amen. Randy, where you at, Randy? Give me a 10-4 at least. Let's say it again and see if you get it this time. God has a purpose for every person. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, here is what Paul says. It says, "For we are God's handiwork. We were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So he makes very clear to us that we are the work of God's hand. In other words, we are made in the image of God. And he is teaching to Christians at this point. But the truth is here, are we not all made in the image of God? Is every person that's in existence, every person that has been in existence, they were created in God's image? We are a work of his hands, which means that he created us to do good works. He prepared us to do good things in this world, which means that every person, whether they're a follower of Jesus or not, has a purpose in this life. So how do we find it? Well, that goes back to our verses that we're reading. Paul tells us in Philippians 2, he starts off that last part of verse 12, says, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Why? Because it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. So if you want to fulfill your good purpose, Paul says, then you need to work out your salvation because God is at work in you, and then you will find your purpose. You will find the reason why God created you. Now he tells us there, it's God who works in us to will and to act. We talked about the will a little bit last week and how God will align our desires with his. But let's be honest. Our will for our life isn't always God's will. What we want for our life isn't always what God wants for our life. Now, we often think that what we want for our life is good. We think what we want for our life is what is best for our life. But the truth is, what's best for our life is however our Creator created us to be. And so we have this tension that we can have between God's will for our life and your will for your life. You know, I thought about it like this. Have you ever thought about have you ever had to try to get a kid to do something that was good for them, but they wouldn't do it? We had about a 3-hour nap battle yesterday with Elijah, and I was so mad at him. I was so mad because he would lay down for a little bit, and we would cuddle, and he'd get real still, and then he'd wake up. And then, "No sleep, Daddy, no sleep, no sleep." But you need to go to sleep. You slept 30 minutes, and you're going to be whiny this evening, which he was last night, because he never went to sleep. But I'm like, I'm trying to do something good for you, son. I'm trying to get you to sleep so that you feel better this evening. And all he wanted to watch was Spidey and Friends. That was where his focus was. But I was trying to get him to do something that was good, and he was resisting it. How often have we done the same thing with God? God's will for our life is good. Romans 8:28. God works all things around for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. If you follow his purpose for your life, it will work around for the good. So God's purpose for our life is good. But when our will and his will doesn't align, it creates tension. And we feel that tension mentally, emotionally, physically. We just give it names such as anxiety, depression, fear even. When we can tell something isn't right. But what Paul is telling us here is that there's good news, is that God can work in you to change your will to align with his. But you have to be open to that. But God can literally change your will to align with his. I wish I could do that with that little two-year-old in the back. If we did, then Daddy and Elijah would have gotten a three-hour nap yesterday. But instead, we're both tired, we're both worn out, and we're both cranky by the end of the night. God can change your will, though. And when he changes your will, that leads into the action part. He said that God works in you to will and to act. So if your will is changed, your actions will change. So God can change our actions, not that he takes us and treats us like puppets, but that he does a work in us so that what we do with our hands is different. But we do that not to fulfill our purpose in life, but to fulfill his good purpose. See, Paul's not wanting us to get it confused, saying that it's our purpose that's fulfilled. It's his purpose for us that is fulfilled through his work in us. And so we have to understand, number one, his purpose is always greater than ours. Number two, his purpose will bring fulfillment to our life. And number three, his purpose is good, because he's a good, good father. So here's my one thesis statement, and I about went over there to put it on the board, but it's not on the board. Here's my one main point for you today. When our will and God's will are aligned, we will act according to God's great purpose. When our wills are in alignment, we will act according to God's great purpose for us. And this is where this is not going to be on that screen. This is going to be on this screen, but I'm going to draw for you today. And I know some of you are probably scared already. Just so you know, I did not win any awards for having the best handwriting. In fact, that was probably the worst thing I was at in school. And that line wouldn't have been straight, except this thing allows me to do a straight line. But God gave me a visual in my head, and that's what we're going to be working off of the rest of the sermon today. So up here we have God. And God, so let's say down here, and this represents your life. Down here we have you. And what Paul told us in Ephesians is that God prepares you to complete his purpose. So let's put God's purpose over here, and let's put your purpose over here. What do you think you should do in your life? So God prepares you to complete this. But how often do we end up over here? How often do we end up doing what we think we should be doing in our life? How often do you end up trying to fulfill your purpose and you end up on this side of this line? And what happens is that God has created you to do that, but you're doing this. And because you're not doing that and you're doing this, something doesn't feel right. Because your creator didn't create you to do this. He created you to do that. And so when we are living here and we're supposed to be living there, we feel that tension all through this timeline here. We feel that tension. Well, we're not fulfilling God's purpose in our life. We're doing what we think we should do. And this is why we have a mental health epidemic today. It's partially because of this. People are just wandering through life doing what they think they should do and not what God created them to do, not what God prepared them to do. And so Paul tells us, if you want to get over here, you need to, number one, work out your salvation. And we'll talk about the importance of having a relationship with God, a relationship with the one who prepares you here in a little bit. But it starts there. You've got to have a relationship with the one who prepared you to find out what he created you to do. But it's God who works in you, is what Paul says. So as soon as you start this relationship and you start working out your salvation, God works in you. And so while your will might be over here, over time, your will begins to move more and more to God's purpose. I've walked through some of these transitions with some of you. You knew what you were doing was not what God has called you to do, and you felt that tension, and God worked in you to gradually move you that direction. And as he changes your will, it changes your actions so that you ultimately fulfill his good purpose. As you move that way, guess what? The tension goes down. The anxiety goes down. The depression goes down. Let me give an example from my life. So, you know, I went through that high school, college thing of what am I supposed to do with my life? My mom was a school teacher. I enjoyed math. Since eighth grade, I wanted to be a math teacher. So that's what I started off at RCC doing. I was doing my math classes, Calculus 1, Calculus 2, pre-calculus. I was covering the core things I would need to transfer to UNCG, and I'd be able to get a job in the school system. That was my purpose for my life. That was my plan. And then I began to feel that tug in my heart, and I look back now, and my anxiety was so bad throughout high school and college. And I think it was because I knew what God was calling me to. But I was trying to go off my own path and do my own thing. So I felt that tension. And as soon as I answered the call, as soon as I told God, I will fulfill your purpose for my life, which was to go into ministry, which was to pastor. But, and, you know, of course, when he's trying to get your will to align with his, I wanted to argue with him and say, well, school teaching's probably going to pay better. I'd have better benefits. I'd actually have health insurance. I'd have these things. And God's like, no, but this is the calling. This is the way I created you was to fulfill this purpose in your life. So I began to move along this timeline, and eventually I accepted my call in the ministry. I still took Calculus 2 for some reason, but I fulfilled my call in the ministry, and I ended up fulfilling God's purpose going into ministry. But wouldn't you know it that once you fulfill God's purpose at one stage in your life, you often try to come back over here to your purpose? Not that I was trying to go back to be a school teacher. No, what I was falling for was this lie that you're only the successful pastor if you pastor a church of hundreds and thousands, and it has to be a mega church. That was what I thought my purpose was to pastor a large church. And so when our church was not large, smaller than it is now, when our church was running 30, 40, 50, I was feeling that anxiety. I was feeling that depression. I was feeling those things. Why? Because I was chasing what I imagined ministry being, what I imagined my call being. But God had a different call. And so over time, as I began to discern what God was calling me to, God was calling me to pastor small churches and to resource, be a resource for other small churches. So that's where the vision for creating a local network of healthy, missional, rural churches came out of. And we're experiencing that now. But when I cannot emphasize enough the freedom I felt mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and even physically when I found out that my calling was to pastor small churches. That I don't have to chase my vision or the world's vision for what a successful church looks like, what a successful ministry looks like. I'm going to chase God's vision. And as I did that, the anxiety goes down, depression goes down. I feel good about where we are at. Now, guess what's going to happen in the future? I'm going to have my purpose, and God's going to have his purpose for the next stage of my life, and there's going to be that tension there again. Because I don't think any of us are perfect. I think all of us tend to wander astray. We have to make sure we stay as close to God's purpose as possible. So you may be thinking at this point, am I fulfilling God's purpose for my life? And I thought about some markers that would tell you the difference between fulfilling your purpose and God's purpose. And I'm going to put this in red. When we're fulfilling our purpose in, when we're fulfilling God's purpose in our life, it requires us to live righteous lives. And that's the big theological word, you know, but it basically means that you're following God, that you're living right, that you're choosing to follow Him above all else. But over here, when you're following your purpose, you are self-righteous. You are self-righteous because what you're doing is you're doing what you think is right. And you're not wanting to list what anyone else says. And so you're following your way, not God's way. Another word I thought about for over here was pure. You're living a pure life. See, you're not going to be in the will of God if you're doing what you think you should be doing. You're going to be in the will of God when you're living the way that God has called you to live. Here's what Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:21. He says, if you keep yourself pure, you'll be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you'll be ready for the master to use you for every good work. You got to keep yourself pure. You got to live a righteous life. And if you're doing that, you're making yourself available to God for honorable use, for a special utensil to be used by your master. So in other words, you got to live the righteous life. And I forgot a T. You got to live a righteous, I forgot a U over here. Righteous life. And I knew I forgot a U and then I just lost room, so. You got to live a righteous life in order to fulfill God's purpose. The second thing that will tell you the difference between God's purpose and your purpose. God's purpose requires you to be selfless. Your purpose is often driven by selfishness, by money, by fame, by popularity, by a whole host of things in this world that is called success. You know, I was thinking with my pastoring thing, the church, you probably do not listen to someone that pastors a church under 100 other than me, because we're not the ones who get the podcast. We're not the ones that are on YouTube. We're not the ones that is on the TV. The people who are on the TV and who are on the podcast, they have the churches of hundreds and thousands and thousands and thousands, and they wanted that popularity, or maybe they didn't want it, they got it, but for me, that was part of my drive to be the big church, was because then there's benefits that come with that. And God didn't make me to enjoy popularity or talking to people half the time, which sounds bad for a pastor, but I need my time, and I cannot handle what some of these mega church pastors go through. But when you're fulfilling God's purpose, it always requires you to be selfless. Here's another word that I had for over here when I was working through my sermon. So I had purity, and God's purpose is always about other people. So purity, people. God's purpose is always about helping other people. Living in a world today where it's all about me, 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 and us getting ahead, me getting ahead, putting others down so that I can get ahead, that's not God's purpose for you. That's not God's purpose for anyone. God's purpose is going to require you to be selfless. And then the last thing that I think will help you determine whether you're fulfilling God's purpose in your life or your purpose is that God's purpose requires you to be dependent on Him. This one you can do by yourself. You can be independent. God's purpose for you can't be completed without His power. And so if you're doing things in your life in your own power, you're probably not fulfilling God's purpose for you. I can go and tell you, this is not my favorite thing to do. This is something that drains me. This is something that I was not good at in high school, but God has given me the gift to preach and to lead and to pastor a church. And so that is the work that God has done in me. And it requires me to be completely dependent on Him because I can't do it myself. But how many people are going through life and they don't need God? They can do whatever they're doing in life. They can be independent. God's purpose is going to require you to lean on someone else's power, on His power at work in you. And so if you can do whatever you're doing without His power, you probably aren't close to God's purpose for your life. I know that might be hard to say, might be kind of, you might think it's coming across a little harsh, but it's true. God doesn't leave us in our comfort zones. He always calls us out of our comfort zones into something that we don't feel comfortable with, that we maybe not are naturally gifted at. Some of you might be here today and you know you're further on this side. You might not be all the way over here, but you're like right here. You know that you're living out your purpose and not God's purpose for your life. And I'm not talking about your job. Unfortunately, we have to make money in order to live and operate today. But your calling, your purpose in life is a lot bigger than your job. Your purpose in life is a lot bigger than your 9-to-5. Whatever God's calling you to is bigger than that. Can it include your job? Yes. But it's a lot bigger than that. And so you may be here today and you feel that tug or you feel that tension in your heart that God is calling you to more. So how do we experience the more that God is calling us to? I'm going to put these in blue. So the way that we move from this side of that line to that side of that line, move from our purpose to God's purpose, first we have to practice our faith. Now, this aligns with the righteous versus self-righteous thing. You have to practice your faith, which means you've got to live it out. Sort of sounds like what Paul said when he said, work out your salvation. You've got to live it out in your life. You've got to be practicing it. And when you're practicing it, it keeps you connected to the one who prepared you to do what he called you to do over here. When you're practicing it, when you're living a righteous life, when you have a relationship with God, then He is preparing you and working within you to get you over here. So the first thing is you've got to practice it. When you practice it, you need to look at where you are producing fruit. Now, this goes back to what Jesus said in John 15. In John 15, Jesus gives an example of what our relationship with Him looks like. And if you're familiar with John 15, it's when He compares Himself to a vine, and we are the branches. And He says this in John 15:5, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in Me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from Me, you can do nothing. So in other words, you have to stay connected to Him, which goes back to the practicing part, which goes back to the self-righteous part. But this part, the producing, the fruit, when we talk about fruit, that's you're producing good things in life, good godly things that positively affects this world. You're being the salt. You're being the light. You're being what God has called the church collectively to be. When you are producing, you're living a selfless life, because guess what? That fruit always has to do with other people. We were created to live out God's calling on our life, and a part of everybody's calling who's a part of the church is to make disciples of Him. That's what it all points back to, is glorifying God, making disciples of Him. Jesus told us that the greatest commandments are to love God and to love one another. So love God, and you're going to practice your love for one another. You're going to produce fruit in your life. You might be thinking, how does producing fruit help me determine God's purpose for my life? Well, something I've learned is that our fruit often aligns with our purpose. Let me give some examples from my life. Even in high school, people would come up to me to ask me faith questions. People would come up to me for counseling, both mental counseling and relationship counseling. In high school, with no training. But these people would seek me out. When I worked at Food Line, same sort of thing happened there. I had customers that didn't even know me that said, the Holy Spirit's all over you. Would just randomly say it. Would just almost say that there's a glow to me. That was all fruit that I was producing in my life. And what does all of that point to? My calling. God's purpose for me, which was to go into ministry, because guess what I do in ministry? I give advice about their faith, and I do a lot of counseling. I do a lot of working with people in their situations and giving them biblical counsel from what God has said in His Word. See, God was preparing me. I was practicing my faith, not perfectly, but I was practicing my faith in high school. He was producing fruit, and He was preparing me and pointing me in the direction to fulfill His purpose for my life. Now, could I have used those same things teaching high school? Yes. But you know what no one ever came to me to do? Be a math tutor. No one ever came to me for me to help them with math. My friend Blake cheated off my paper, but that wasn't helping. We got caught. So that was fun. But no one ever came to me to tutor. People came to me with faith questions and counseling, which is a lot of what I do here. Even to some degree, I can go back further than that. As a kid, I was always a natural leader. I would take charge. I would lead. I would come up with plans. I would plan out our day, play with my cousins. All of that was fruit God was producing in my life, pointing me to my purpose. So often, if you're practicing your faith, you're going to produce fruit, and your fruit is going to point towards God's purpose for you. Our fruit often aligns with our purpose in life. And so the last thing we do, where did that pen go? There it is. The last thing we do, and I say last thing, but really it's all through there, is to pray. Because if you're like me, when you begin to discern what God is calling you to do, this wave of anxiety and fear crashes in, and you're like, really, God? Me? I can't do this. I can't do this without your help. I remember the first time I got up to preach, Saturday night at Next. It was it wasn't the first time I got up to preach, but it was the first time I was doing my own ministry without just doing a Sunday morning sermon. It was just having our first service that I was over. I remember just saying, God, if you don't work through me, then this is going to fail. And that's the truth every time we get up here. That's the truth every time we gather. If God doesn't work through me, if God doesn't work through our worship team, if God doesn't work through you, this church is going to fail. But I remember feeling so anxious and worried. But what was I doing? I was showing my dependence on Him. Because what He was calling me to was so much greater than what I thought I could do. And for me, I wanted confirmation. I saw where the fruit was going. I was practicing my faith. I knew where God was leading me. But God, I want this confirmed. And God gave me that confirmation in multiple ways. But also part of prayer, as long as you're doing these first two, just ask God, what am I supposed to do with my life? Is this all there is? What do you want me to do in these next 10, 20 years? Do you want me to start some type of outside ministry? Do you want me to change my job? Do you want me to quit my job tomorrow and go work somewhere else? Go and work out your two-week notice, though, just to be a good Christian. Because I hated it when people did that at Food Line. What are you calling me to? Get that word from God and then follow it. And you'll experience His purpose for your life. And I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that when you find God's purpose for you, there is nothing better. We can't ask him today, but one day, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're going to get to ask Paul and Peter and Matthew and James. See, if it was up to Peter, his purpose in his life would have been a fisherman. In fact, after Jesus dies on the cross, that's where we see Peter and them going back to, fishing. That tension was there. And Jesus has to go chase them down, and then Peter becomes the rock on which the church is built and becomes an early church leader and was beaten and jailed, etc., etc. Like, they did not have an easy life. In fact, they were killed because they fulfilled God's purpose for their life. But I bet you when we ask them in heaven one day, is there anything better than fulfilling God's purpose for you? They're going to say no. See, I'm not saying that it's going to be easy to fulfill in God's purpose for you. I'm not saying that you're not going to have trials, you're not going to have tribulations. You absolutely will. In fact, you might have more because the devil loves it when you're over here. The devil loves it when you're not fulfilling God's purpose. He loves it when you're over here being selfish and self-righteous and independent. He loves it. So he's not going to mess with you too much, but as soon as you start moving over here, all of a sudden the attacks are going to come, and it resulted in Paul's life being lost, Peter's life being lost, James's life being lost. Disciples were all essentially killed for fulfilling God's purpose in their life. But yet, they would say there's nothing better. There's nothing that fills that hole within you. There's nothing that makes you feel more fulfilled than fulfill God's purpose for you. My dream this year is that everybody in this room and everybody listening online would fulfill their God-given purpose. Would work out their salvation because God is at work in them, and that you would do God's work in this world. Can you imagine what would happen if everybody in this room fulfilled their God-given purpose? Can you imagine the change that would happen in this county, in Seagrove? There would be a revival. Can you imagine what would happen? We would have to probably continue to send people out in greater ways than we are now to go help other churches, because God is at work in you. And so my question for you today is, where do you find yourself on this line? As the worship team comes up, they're going to lead us in one last song. But I want you to ponder that for a second. Where are you at on that line? Are you fulfilling your purpose? Are you doing what you think you should be doing in your life? Or are you fulfilling God's purpose? Do you feel that tension because you're over here and you're supposed to be over here? Or do you know today, hey, I'm fulfilling God's purpose for my life. At this moment in time, I know I'm following God. I know I'm doing what God has called me to do. I have that assurance. I have that confidence. I feel it deep down. But if that's not you today, here's my advice to you. First, you need to have a relationship with Him. And you do that by repenting of your sins, by saying, I want to follow Jesus. He created you. He prepared you to do whatever that is. But you're not going to find that out until you start to follow Him. And as you follow Him, practice your faith. You'll see that you produce fruit. Discern where that fruit is pointing you, and pray. and then obediently say, God, I want to do what you've called me to do. So here's what I want to do. I want to take a minute right now. I want our heads bowed. I want eyes closed. And we're just going to sit here, and I want you to ask God this question. God, am I fulfilling your purpose for my life? And if not, then show me. Ask him that right now.